It's the News According to Me. Yeah. Shaking my head with the music. Letting my hair flop around. I forgot. That was me 30 years ago. Yeah, maybe 40. 40 or 50 years ago, maybe. That's probably more like it. It is Thursday, December 8th, 9:21 a.m. 2022. I am late again getting this thing started. I know that the problem I've had is that when I've been doing work lately for this company that I work for, it's a loosely defined as work. I've been working into the later hours of the day. In fact, the next time I go in, I'm going to be working out, like I call it the midnight shift. I start at 8 o'clock at night. We get done at 2 a.m. 5 days in a row like that. So it's harder for me to get the early morning thing done, obviously. However, I think typically I usually wake up around 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Now, when I'm in a hotel by myself, I can just pick up my phone and do a show. The problem is I don't have any content. I'm just sitting there going, well, I'm still kind of in my, I'm plenty much awake. I could do the show. I don't need to be very, very awake to do the show, but believe it or not, I can practically be sleeping and doing the show. The problem is there wouldn't be much content. It would just be kind of be babbling along, which, well, I guess that is the show. So I guess that wouldn't be any different, come to think of it. By the way, those of you who are just tuning in for the first time, this is the show where I am a commentator on all kinds of things that I know nothing about. I am not a doctor or a lawyer. I'm not a physician of any kind. I'm not a financial counselor or fiduciary thing. I have no ability to give you any life advice whatsoever. What you do with what my opinions is, it's your own business. So it's on you. It's all on you. In fact, the mere fact that you're sitting here wasting your time listening to my show is, that tells me all I need to know about you. Yeah. So that's a great way to open the show. I make myself laugh occasionally. I can do that. I'm a self-actuated comedian. So I have, lots of stuff going on. One thing that's really going on, it's an amazing thing that's going on right now, is the thing that's in my cup right here. I've got chai, vanilla chai with creamer, organic creamer in there. Still have more organic creamer in there, which it's good. It's just, it's just vanilla creamer. It's not flavored. But it is good. It's probably better for me. The organic part of it's probably better for me than, just that processed stuff that they put in stuff. So it's, trying to do a little bit better by myself here. So I can't do that at home. I can't pull up my phone and start doing things because, if I'm talking, giving political opinions, my wife is laying there. She probably wouldn't appreciate that a whole lot. But the good news is we did a poll here, and I am now the number one podcast in this house when my wife is gone. That was the poll between my cat and my two dogs. It was close. There were a lot of other competitors. But I did give them a little snack before I asked them about this one. They seem to respond well to this podcast. I don't know that made a difference. I'm just trying to use some Democrat tactics here. Speaking of Democrat tactics, oh, by the way, I have a backup cup this morning. I have a backup cup. I have some sweet tea mixed with V8 Fusion, peach mango V8 Fusion, which is quite refreshing. So this show could go on for hours, and I would be fine because I've got plenty of energy here. Plenty of sugar, hot and cold drinks to keep me going. I don't have anything lukewarm. Once it turns lukewarm, I'm done. I'm going to spew it out of my mouth and be gone. Now, There's several things in the news. This Twitter thing is really heating up, at least for people on the right. Will anything be done with it? Will there be any perp walks, any accountability? No. There will be almost zero of that. There is also some interesting cases before the U.S. Supreme Court that have been pushed around in some of the state Supreme Court issues. And there are actually some lawmakers who have tried to go after this issue of how the Constitution alludes that the state legislatures, not the state governors, it doesn't leave them, it defines it very clearly that it's the House and the Senate, the state houses and the state senates are to determine election laws in their states, because it needs to be state representatives that do that. And how they go about doing that is their business. But the problem during COVID was we had states' attorneys generals and governors stepping in because, well, you know, COVID, scary COVID, we have to change our election laws. This is emergency. We have emergency powers now. Might I remind you, I don't know, I think the president is actually still operating under emergency powers from COVID, I believe. I don't think he's dropped that yet. I think if he has, it's just been in the last couple months. And in fact, I think Justin Trudeau has extended his emergency powers up in Canada. You know, COVID, because it's, you know, people are just dropping like flies. Oh, no, that's the other thing. That's myocarditis. Sorry. You know, we had there's a couple other football players now that have, professional and college ball players, as well as high school age kids, again, that have either dropped dead or had extreme heart issues. I think one of them had a blood clot type embolism. This has become commonplace now. And I don't recall this happening prior to COVID. Maybe we just didn't pay attention to it. But it seems like it's every day. There are two or three of these unusual cases like this that make the news. And there's probably more of them that don't make the news. So it just seems odd to me. And if you look at some of the people that are behind the scenes trying to make some comments, trying to make some waves and say, waving their hands saying, hey, this is happening, needs to be looked at. Dr. John Campbell actually went over some of the statistics that someplace in Europe was doing a study on the number of deaths that happened due to the vaccine. Somebody made a really good comment yesterday. I heard it just the other day. It was actually on the Jimmy Dore show, and it was from a guy that I don't really necessarily. It's one of his sidekicks, Jimmy Dore. He's definitely a socialist, but he's not a left wing radicalist. He's not a wokist. The vaccine thing really, I think, actually opened his eyes to some things, because he had an adverse effect, and he couldn't even talk about it on YouTube. They wouldn't allow him. They booted his show down. They shut his show down for talking about his own experience with the vaccine. Now he's back up and running again. He got put in YouTube jail for a while. But what ended up happening was he kind of started asking some questions. And he's always been kind of an anti-big government. What's weird, he doesn't trust the government, but he wants government to be in charge of more things. This is one of the things I think that you're going to have to kind of come to grips with, the fact that this doesn't work, guys. The very thing that you're pushing against is the very thing that you're wanting to give more control to. And that's that seems a little bit at odds with each other. Now, he's also, but he's real big on big pharma and big food and all this kind of stuff. And he's talking about, he knows about all the stuff that's happened with, like, the Pfizer stuff that's happened, different companies like that. All the corruption that goes on there. And speaking of corruption, there's a tremendous amount of, well, I'm going to get back on my track here. The thing that this guy said was interesting. He said, you know, peanuts are edible and people can buy them in a store. But you can't mandate that everybody eat a peanut. 8 billion people on the planet, there's a certain percentage of them that are allergic to peanuts. Some of them just don't want peanuts. Or they don't like the taste. Or maybe they can't religiously eat a peanut. You can't force everyone to have a peanut. Well, the rewards outweigh the risks. Oh, you mean 5% of the population dying outweighs, you know, 5% of the population dying from the vaccine, from the peanut, outweighs the possibility of 5% of the people dying because they didn't eat peanut. And the peanut salesman, love it. Now, it was just an interesting statement, and it does kind of, you know, not everybody can have a vaccine. Maybe some people just can't have them, and now what are you going to do? There was a young boy. Let me see if I can find the headline here. It is, where'd it go? It's not there now. That's odd. All right, here, I can find it here. It's right there. Duke doctors refuse kidney transplant for a 14-year-old girl unless she gets the jab. There's a Hippocratic Oath that doctors take. Folks, that is coercion. There is no reason on the planet for this girl to have to get the jab. It is, that to me is akin to holding someone hostage. This is the mentality that some people have, and this guy is a doctor. Actually, it's a team of doctors, the way I understand it. I find that appalling. Appalling. There's a doctor that I go to every 6 months because I have to keep a physical thing for the work I do. Every other 6 months, or once a year, I have to have an EKG. My doctor is almost my age. I think he might be 5 years older than me, maybe at the most. Probably not even that. He's actually probably closer to my age. He looks older than me. He's overweight and doesn't look healthy. I don't know what kind of medication he's on. He asked me once if I wanted to get the flu shot. I said no. Well, thank you. He's not asked me since. He hasn't asked me that question at all. He's very happy with my health the way it is. My blood pressure is low. My weight is proper with my age and height. I don't have any stomach pains, nothing weird going on. I'm not on any medication at all. So far things are working good, and what's working is working, and we're not going to mess with that. Part of that's genetics, I'm sure. It's not just anything I'm doing necessarily. I do exercise. Probably not as much as I should, but I do. But a lot more than people my age, I will tell you that. There are people in their 50s and 40s that are not looking very healthy to me. I can't imagine letting myself go to that point. I hope it doesn't happen to me. Now, an injury can happen and things change, but I'm hoping that I will take better care of myself than that. The point is, I think he realizes that, if I'm doing what I'm doing and it works, he's not going to push it. He didn't tell me I should. He didn't tell me I had to. Nothing at all. It was just, okay. And it was a pleasant conversation. It wasn't, I didn't jump down his throat, or he didn't try to push it on me. He just offered to get the flu shot. And I respectfully turned it down. So I have interesting, I went through a bunch of interesting articles and stuff about the whole thing with the whole Twitter thing. Now, there's a fellow, I'm going to try to explain this to you best I can. For those of you who haven't had a chance to really listen to what's going on with this. An FBI lawyer, James Baker, who represented the FBI, this is all back in 2015, 2016, and prior to the 2020 election as well. Keep in mind, in 2019, actually at the end of 2018, I think it was December of 2018, the FBI had the infamous Hunter Biden laptop. They did nothing with it. Now, there was more than one laptop, by the way. The fellow who had the repair shop saw the things that were on the laptop, and he made two other copies of the hard drive. That was the smartest thing this guy could have ever done. If he had not done that, we to this day would probably not ever know anything about. It would be very easy to sweep this whole thing under the rug, because it would just be that guy's word against the FBI. Now, at the top echelon of the FBI, there were individuals who decided to suppress the story. And in true fashion that the FBI has been, obviously, the way they operate now, they decided to keep it as a leverage tool against any politician that might be involved on the laptop certain individuals on the laptop that they might, on that hard drive, they could use later on to shake down any particular opponent of their agenda. In the process of all of this, there was one James Baker. James Baker, a lawyer with the FBI, on staff with the FBI, ended up working as a lawyer on staff for Twitter. Now, I mentioned this the other day. I briefly spoke that I'm surprised that Mr. Musk was able to get into Twitter with his team before they went scorched earth out the door and started deleting and destroying things on their way out the door. Because rats on a ship will scatter and panic, and they will kill each other to get off the ship if it's going down. Their little boat that they were on there at Twitter was sinking fast. It was filling with water. It was floating on a sea of lies and deception, and they were caught, or about to be caught. I don't think they understood the extent of what was about to happen to them there. Now, James Baker was fired. Elon Musk right now is fuming mad. I don't know what the man looks like when he's mad, but obviously this is a man who demands integrity. You don't make it to where Elon Musk is in life without having some kind of integrity in your organization, in the organization. Look at George Soros. George Soros has made it. He's one of the richest people on the planet. But you don't know what George Soros has ever produced. Has he ever produced anything for humanity? Has he ever provided a service? Built anything? Invented anything? Marketed anything? He is a social manipulator. That's all he is.
He thinks it's very fun. It is very fun to go into a little country and upset everything and change the government there. Yes, it was a very fun experiment.
It was, you know, he does that in small countries because he's trying to learn how to do it in big countries, and he's doing it now. He has a social agenda. That is not who Elon Musk is. Now, he may become that eventually. I don't think that Bill Gates started off as being a social engineer and someone who wanted to control humanity when he started making computers. And actually, it wasn't him that was making them. Maybe he actually stole. If you look into the way this all happened with Bill Gates, he wasn't the one who started Microsoft. He was placating on everybody around him. In some ways, Steve Jobs was kind of that way. Steve Jobs was the marketing visionary, and he understood computers, but he wasn't the one who was. He was the innovator. But he wasn't the one doing the programming. He understood what needed to happen. Now, Bill Gates didn't even know that. If you look into his real story, it's nothing. He just happened to be in the right place at the right time. He's kind of ruthless in the way he did some of his business stuff. It was all about Bill. Now, having said that, Elon is getting into this thing and realizing you guys are playing dirty. This is These are lies, deceptions. This is corruption at its core. This is the FBI tied to the White House, tied to a political party, influencing an election, deceiving people. It is First Amendment rights at its core. Now, Twitter, if Twitter wants to censor people, yeah, sure, they can censor people. They can censor whoever they want to. But when you have the federal government telling them what to censor, and even hiring people from the federal government to come in and check your stuff, this is kind of like I don't even know any way to describe this. It's almost as if you have some, okay, so I'm over here in this law firm and I commit these crimes. And then I go some, then of course the federal government's going to hire me or they're going to investigate me or whatever. And so I'm going to go over there and get hired by the federal government as a lawyer. So I can, I'll take care of all this for you. I'm going to root through all this and tell you what you need to know. That's how deep into this they are. Now, is mainstream media talking about it? No, because they know the ramifications here. And this whole thing of conspiracy theories, how they're discrediting and, oh, everything's a conspiracy theory. They're vilifying the idea that you have a theory about a conspiracy that happened. Like that's that means it's not true. A conspiracy theory is something that's not true. It's wacky. No, it's just a theory, but there are conspiracies. There are conspiratorial acts that happen all the time. In fact, one of the January 6th protesters was recently charged with seditious conspiracy. Now, is that a theory? Is that just a conspiracy theory? Is it fake and phony because they use the word conspiracy? Sometimes conspiracy theories are true. The theory turns out, we have a theory about something. It just means that you don't have any facts or evidence. You just have a theory about something because the way it adds up, it looks this way. So you have a theory about it. It's like a hypothesis, which I can barely say. So it's not, but they're trying to discredit any kind of term of conspiracy theory all of a sudden becomes this laughable thing. So James Baker now is in the middle of this. Now the problem with this whole thing is there's much more to this. Of course, now Jack Dorsey now gets involved. Oh, you should just release everything. Just release it all. That's what they want. That's what they want him to do. They want Musk to release everything all at once. One big dump. Just release it all so we can have some transparency. That's Jack Dorsey saying that. Jack Dorsey, you were in control of this thing when it was going on. You could have released information about this thing. You were the one who was responsible for it. Well, I didn't know anything about it. Oh, okay, whatever. And these guys were being called before Congress and they were weaseling in and out. They were being asked these questions before Congress. And they were denying everything. So, or I don't know, I'm not sure, I don't know exactly what the algorithms are. Oh, really? You're unaware of the fact that the FBI is contacting your company? That the government, that the administration is contacting your company? And asking you to censor certain things? You didn't know anything about that. I don't know how big your company has to be to not know that there are federal agents walking around. Seems a little ridiculous. So, again, this whole thing. And of course, now Jim Jordan was being interviewed. It wasn't Maria Bartiromo. She's a pit bull. However, It was some other lady, and I can't remember her name. She's got these big glasses on Fox, and she was interviewing Jim Jordan. She goes, "Well, what's going to happen? You know, what kind of accountabilities are going to be?" Well, Jim, you know, he says, "Well, we don't have the right to prosecute, but we're gonna have hearings." Okay, well, here we go with the hearings. Now these people know how to play the games. They're going to play the games. They're going to have the. I can't answer that because it's an ongoing investigation. I can't answer that because, you know, it's grounds that it might incriminate me, blah, 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 to plead the fifth, blah, 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 or they're going to give some kind of answer. I don't recall. That's their favorite one lately. I don't recall. I'm not aware of anything like that. I don't know. I can't remember. That was 2 days ago. I can't remember what I had. I can't remember what, you know. So that's the game they'll play. So they don't really care about the hearings, but the hearings, they're in their attempt to kind of shed some light on things that, of course, the media will not cover. And the reason that they want this thing to come out in one big dump is because it's too much for people to, it doesn't stay in the news very long. They can, well, here it is, 2 weeks from now, it'll be gone. Nobody will be thinking about it because the next big thing happens. Now, if you drip this out over time, it stays in the news. It continues to simmer. It just keeps on simmering and simmering and simmering. And the aroma and the smell finally permeate into everything around it. It doesn't go away. This is what the legacy media has done to Trump for 5 years, 6, 7 years now. The walls are closing in. Oh, we're going to get him on this one. Oh, we got him here. We got him there. The Trump Organization was found guilty, 17 counts of tax fraud in a New York court. There's a surprise. Guess what? Trump wasn't found guilty of tax fraud. It was the organization, the people running it. They're still after his tax records, by the way. They've had his tax records. In fact, the state of New York got a hold of his tax records, and they've found nothing yet. Nobody. It's like, oh, we got the tax records. But then you didn't hear anything after that. There's nothing there. His accountants, his tax people, his CPAs, all the people he has working for him in his accounting department are taking care of all that stuff. At the very least, he has plausible deniability, even if they did do something wrong. But that won't matter because it's Trump. And he's an evil man. He's the incarnation of every bad person that ever lived. That's the hysteria that they're under. He's 10 times worse than Hitler. But don't worry, folks. Joe Biden has come to the rescue. In a couple places, he's come to the rescue now. One place, Brittany Griner. How many of you, raise your hand if you know who Brittany Griner is. I don't see any hands. That's what I expected. Don't worry, she's back in the U.S. now. She's back in the United States. Joe Biden stepped in and rescued her, got her back in the United States. Brittany's back. Brittany Griner. Not Brittany Whitney. Brittany Houston. Not Brittany Whitney. Not Brittany Spears. That's Brittany Griner. She is a WNBA basketball player. She was being held by Russia. And Joe worked out this great deal. Great deal. We're going to stick it to the Russians with this one. We're going to work out this good. We're going to put some pressure on them. Stick it to them. We're going to get our WNBA player back. All we have to do is give them Victor Bout, an international arms dealer. Seems pretty fair. Seems like a pretty level-headed, level playing field thing. International arms dealer. I trade him for a WNBA basketball player. Good job, Joe. She's safe. She's on an airplane. She's on her way home. Oh, how wonderful. We can all rest assured now. I feel so much better about it now that this guy's back and free. So happy that all we had to do was give up an international arms dealer. From Russia. In the midst of a war. A little bit more news that's out there. Biden administration just gave $36 billion to bail out an inept union pension fund. A union pension fund. For the railway workers. Because they were going to have to take pension cuts. Here's an article here. Here's an article about it on The Hill. Biden will be joined by Labor Secretary Marty Walsh and union leaders and workers to detail the funding for the Central States Pension Fund, which provides benefits mostly for Teamsters that include truck drivers, warehouse workers, construction workers, and others. The money will come from the American Rescue Plan Special Finance Assistance Program. The ARPSFAP. It had a $7.4 billion in assets and it had applied for $35.1 billion in relief. The White House estimates retirees would have faced a roughly 60% reduction in benefits without financial relief. But don't worry, your tax dollars are coming to rescue them. $40 billion. At some point, by the way, let's just do a little calculation here. There's 100 million households in the United States. It's 1,000. That's 1,000,000. That's 1,000,000,000. That's 1,000,000,000,000. I'm going to divide that by 100 million. That's 1,000,000. That's 100 million. Let's see, I can make sure I got that right. That's 3. That's 10 million. Yeah, 1, 2, 3. Yes, one more zero. That's $10,000. $1 trillion is $10,000 per household. Now, think of how many trillions of dollars. There's Kiyosaki was talking the other day. The real numbers, the way they calculate the actual deficit or the debt, the U.S. debt and the deficit, they play with these numbers all the time. But the reality is it's in the neighborhood of about $120 trillion. If you look at the real numbers, the way it used to be calculated. Which has to do with a combination of deficit and debt and borrowing and lending and all the stuff that goes on. The shortfalls. Now, having said that, you could give every home, every household in the United States, every household, every single one, $100,000. And that's like $10 trillion. And our debt right now is at least, even if you figure it with what they're telling us, is in the $26 to $27 trillion range. That's the low estimate. That's a conservative estimate of what our deficit is, right? Our debt range is right now. We are in trouble, folks. We are, they are, you know, everybody talks about, oh, slavery's over. We don't have slavery anymore. Oh, yes, we do. If you understand that you are, as a debtor, you are slave to the lender. And more it becomes this issue of the government now is lending you the money and you need to pay it back with your life. You need to go out there and earn now so you can pay your taxes. Taxes are kind of like a loan. If I have property taxes, if I have my house paid off, I've worked hard, I've saved up my money, I've paid off my home, I own my home free and clear now, worked all my life, finally paid it off, I retire, and guess what? If you don't pay your taxes, they come and take it away.
Well, of course, everybody can't get away from taxes.
No, but I did pay for my home. Why would they be able to take away my home?
Well, because you don't pay your taxes.
Well, I'm not earning a living anymore.
Well, you know, there's death and taxes.
Well, I guess if the tax man comes to take my home, he'll find out what death is. Did that sound threatening? Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't mean for it to sound threatening. I meant for it to sound more like a promise. This is the kind of thing I think is immoral. It is absolutely immoral. Because for what I pay in taxes, I should say what we pay, what our household pays in taxes for property taxes, it is the equivalent of paying rent. You're basically paying, if you divide it up by the month, what we pay in taxes here, and taxes here in Indiana are low compared to some places. Some places pay more in property tax per month than they do on a house payment. How does that work? It is absolutely insane. And the real question is, where is all that money going? There's no accountability. Politicians play these games. Mitch McConnell, that was very interesting. Actually, if I can find this, this might actually be something worth listening to this morning. Mark Levin was on the, where's it at here? It's got to be here somewhere. He was on Hannity. I unfortunately have to listen to a little bit of Hannity if you can listen to this, but Mark Levin was on Hannity. Where'd it go? What happened to it? It was right here somewhere. And he made this very good statement. In fact, I can probably just find it by doing a search. Let's see if we can find it here. It was worth listening to because eight nine twenty two. Let's just go with this. I don't know. I think it was just last night. Yeah, here it is. 2 months ago. 6 months ago. 4 months ago. 5 hours ago. Here we go. This is the one. And we're gonna listen to this because I think it's worth listening to. Unfortunately, Hannity talks for a little while. I'll try to cut in here when he starts actually talking. We'll
ask you one question.
Okay, he's asking a question here, so we'll go ahead with this.
Saying shutting down dissenting voices, which they did, is by its very definition election interference. The fact that the FBI,
hey, see, this is one of those deals where
in weekly contact
Hannity with all of these brings a person on. Of course, now they got a picture of Mark sitting there. He's kind of blinking. He's looking at the thing. He's listening to his question. And Hannity just keeps going on and on and on and on and on. This is a 6 minute clip.
They could have,
and so far we are
that it was a real laptop.
Almost a minute into this.
Tells me that they
and
were putting
he hasn't let his guest speak yet.
Again, now,
it'll be interesting
like
to see how much he interrupts him
in
the middle of this, but we'll see what he has
election.
To say here.
Tell me your thoughts.
Here we go.
Well, the FBI is corrupt, and it's not just from the top down, as Joe Biden likes to say, the bottom up and the middle out, whatever that means, but. There's simply no question about that, which is why we need to get a speaker over there on the Republican side and get to the bottom of this. But I want to talk about a couple other things related to this, and that's this. It's a very convenient foil for the Republican establishment and their Washington media and other media to keep blaming MAGA and Donald Trump for their losses. You know, Donald Trump hasn't been around forever. The Republican establishment has. McConnell, I think, has been in the Senate 36 or 38 years. He pulled the same stunt in 2010 when we won 63 House seats, but they didn't get enough seats in the Senate. Do you know who he blamed? Did he look in the mirror? He blamed the Tea Party. That's who he blamed.
Exactly.
In 2006, when George Bush...
Keep that in mind. Mitch McConnell blamed the Tea Party for the losses in the Senate back in 2010, I think it was. Mitch McConnell is a GOP establishment hack. Now, he also came out and recently said, I think Mark's going to talk about this. He recently, while he's talking, I'm going to try to also find this clip of Mitch McConnell talking about how no one who goes against the Constitution should be allowed to be in a Republican Party. They're playing this thing up as well. Now, we're going to get into that a little bit with what Donald Trump actually, he didn't tweet it out, he truthed it out on Truth Social.
Bush and our friend Karl Rove lost the Congress, which had been given to them. Which they inherited, the Republican Congress. They didn't blame George Bush and Karl Rove. No, no, no. The problem with the Republican Party is it's not a conservative party. It's not a Reagan party. It's not a Trump party. It is a Washington-centric party. It is a bureaucratic
party.
What have the Republicans done so far? You know, with the filibuster rule, the minority in the Senate has a lot of power. We know that because when the Democrats are in the minority, they're able to gum up the works. What is it that McConnell wants to do? He wants to meet them on the 40-yard line. What do you mean meet them on the 40 line? I want to meet them at the hot dog stand and have them buy me a hot dog. I don't want to meet. And who's 40-yard line? So what have the Republicans in the Senate done so far? Have they laid out an agenda? You know, McConnell keeps going to the microphone. He keeps talking about anybody who talks about suspending the Constitution can't run for president. Obviously, he's talking about Trump. Well, the Democrats are constantly suspending the Constitution and ripping it and attacking it, and their judges are. McConnell, when's the last time you talked about separation of powers, limited government, equal protection, due process, probable cause for warrants? Our Constitution's already being suspended. The firewalls in the Constitution are already being breached by the Democrats. Why do you want to meet them on the 40-yard line? What are you going to do to give us our Constitution back?
Exactly.
What are you going to do to protect separation of powers? What are you going to do to stop Biden's executive orders? What are you going to do to force Biden to execute our laws, like our immigration laws? You come to the microphone and you burp out words with those guys standing behind you like you're at a funeral procession.
Yep.
That doesn't fix a damn thing. You're always looking for foils. It reminds me of Biden. Inflation's up. Gasoline prices are up. Production is down. It's somebody else's fault. Well, when they lose their elections, which they control for the most part, they always blame the base or they always blame somebody else. It's really quite ridiculous. What happened to McCain? He lost. What happened to Romney? He lost. It took somebody like a Trump to win the presidency back, and it took Reagan to win two massive landslides. So what is the position of the Senate Republicans when it comes to all these issues? God knows there's a zillion of them.
He's getting worked up.
From the border to inflation to gasoline. Why don't they have a coherent, consistent legislative agenda? You had very bright people on earlier talking about why we lose these elections. Let me tell you why we lose these elections. It has nothing to do with Trump or has nothing to do with MAGA. It has nothing to do with all the rest. The greatest candidates, Fetterman's bumping into walls as I speak.
Yep.
He's not exactly a great candidate. Biden? Are you kidding me? Those aren't great candidates. They've destroyed our election process.
Yep.
The governors and the state legislatures need to get involved and fix it. That's what they did in Florida. It's simple. Fix it. You're not going to fix it? Then steal their system from them. Vote early like I do and do all the rest. That's fine. And what else do we need to do in this country? The reason people don't vote is they don't have a reason to vote. What was the Republican position on inflation? What were they going to do? I still don't know. What were they going to do to secure the border? Well, they're in the Senate now. What are they proposing? You know what they're proposing, Sean? Illegal immigration. Amnesty and citizenship for illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
The border's wide open. Illegal immigrants are coming in, and the Republican solution is
amnesty,
citizenship. And they're not going to stop with DACA. Schumer's already told us all legal aliens should be citizens. What else? They vote against religious freedom. It wasn't about marriage. They voted against religious freedom. They wouldn't adopt Mike Lee's amendment. Why? Why are they working with the Democrats on the most massive spending bill in modern American history? It may not happen. What is their agenda? Why do they want people to vote for them? Why don't they embrace conservative principles? Why don't they think about Reagan and the successes of Trump? Why? Because they're not conservative, and they don't believe in it. And as long as this goes on, we're going to lose elections. And finally, how did the Democrats beat us in redistricting in most of the country? Eric Holder's running around the country so proud of himself. You know why? The failure of the RNC, the failure of that little committee they put together with our friend Karl Rove. We are being outgunned by their lawyers who are going into these states and doing these various things. The Republican establishment, the Republican ruling class has failed us. And they have controlled the Congress for 30 and 40 years. Are we better off as a result of it? No, we're not. That's it.
The Republican establishment likes to lead from behind. That is the bulk of the problem with the GOP. They would rather, you have to remember back at the 2016 election, there were a lot of GOP never Trumpers who were trying to convince you to vote for Hillary Clinton. Their thought was, well, we're just going to let Hillary Clinton win this time, and in 2020 we'll come back and win because the country will be, you know, the country's going to suffer under Hillary, and we'll have a chance to regroup and get back power in 2020. We're just going to let her have one term. She's going to be a one-term president. Can you imagine where we would be today if Hillary had won? She would have won a second term as well, because the machine would have been. They've pretty much cinched the machine now to where it's at that point. Now, I don't know what's going to happen here in 2024 and how this is all going to pan out. I do know that the GOP, everybody in the establishment is coming out against Trump and saying he shouldn't be. I want to see if I can find this tweet. Now, if you recall, Casey Hendricks, I was listening to him the other day, and he was on a kind of a nationally syndicated news show being interviewed. And the interviewer brought up this thing about the, was it South Carolina, where the Trump made the statement about there were very fine people on both sides. He was he didn't support the white supremacist. He condemned them totally. That was part of his speech. There were people who wanted the statues up. There were people who wanted the statues taken down. There were fine people on both sides who wanted history to be retained and the statues to be left. And there were those who didn't. That's what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about the white supremacists and the neo-Nazis that were down there. He was condemning them totally. But that's not the way the media played it. The media played it out as if they wanted it to be polarized into two groups. The white supremacists and racists and the good people who wanted the statues taken down. And Trump was on he said there were fine people on both sides. Well, gee. You know, there are probably white supremacists and neo-Nazis. This will probably get me in trouble to say this publicly, which I am doing right now. But just because someone is a white supremacist or a neo-Nazi does not necessarily mean they've committed any crimes. You could be sitting down in a restaurant with them and having dinner and not know. It's not like they're running around all the time just because they have this ideology that goes against everything you believe in. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they're just bad everywhere they go. They don't bust into a restaurant like Antifa and demand that you speak and say something. And it's get in your face while you're eating dinner and demand that you say, you know, white power or something like that, or white lives matter. They don't demand those kinds of things from you. I don't know of any group that might do that to you. You know, maybe. Maybe there is a group out there that might do that. While you're sitting down eating dinner, they might bust in and make you say a statement or they're going to tip over your table. Gee, I wonder what kind of group would do that kind of thing. So, I wonder if I can find this this truth thing that the other thing they're trying to go after Trump on right now is this statement, Trump Truth Social Constitution. Let's see if I can find it here. I doubt if I can find it. I think I spelled it right. I think I spelled something wrong there. Trump calls for termination of the Constitution. In Truth Social. Truth Social. Trump claims grounds for termination of the U.S. Constitution. They put termination in quotes. Everything else was, you know, not. So CBS, MSNBC, CNN. These are the top headlines here as you put that thing in there. The Hill. Trump insists he doesn't want to terminate the Constitution. Of course he doesn't. That's not what he said. He didn't say that in the truth. He didn't say that in the thing. McConnell criticizes Trump comments on the Constitution. Let's take a look at this. Here we go. Hopefully this is a video. Maybe this is a video. He's out there standing out there like Levin says. He's got all these guys standing around like they're in a funeral. Let's see if I can find the audio of, I can't find the audio of him saying this. Yeah, I don't see it. Doesn't say anything. Well, let's see what McConnell actually said.
What I'm saying is that it would be pretty hard to be sworn in as to be the president if you're not willing to uphold the Constitution, McConnell. Right? That's what I said, I've said it again. Let me just say, anyone seeking the presidency who thinks that the Constitution could somehow be suspended or not followed, it seems to me would be, have a very hard time being sworn in as president of the United States.
And now you've got everybody in the GOP establishment piling on with this. I think I made mention of this yesterday. John Bolton, of all people, is on the Sunday show, basically announcing he's going to run for president in 2024. And his whole platform is, well, Trump said he's going to try to cancel the Constitution. He should be disqualified from being president. So anybody who goes against the Constitution, anything that's in the Constitution, they should be disqualified. Is that the case, John Bolton? Maybe we should look into your record in foreign policy. We should look into some of these people's records and what they've done. Let's look at the First Amendment, for example. Swear to uphold and defend the Constitution, and then you go around the back, use private companies to do things that the government can't. That was, by the way, the Supreme Court made a very clear ruling on that. The government cannot hire another company to do something for them that would be unconstitutional for the government to do. And that's exactly what they did with the Twitter situation. With all the big media, Facebook, all the social media stuff. They did that with all of them. Google, Alphabet, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all of it. They were using them behind the scenes to conduct their business, their censorship of the American people. Are you going to disqualify them? Are you going to say that this administration is now treasonous? It's now discredited? It's illegitimate?
No, Joe Biden won. Well, fair and square. I don't know. He won. He got 81 million votes. Or probably 82 million. Maybe 100 million. I don't know.
These people are despicable. Well, I've been going on for an hour. It seems like I've just started. Where'd all the time go? I still have one more show tomorrow. There won't be a show on Saturday or Sunday, probably. There might be, though. I might put a special show out. Saturday's going to be kind of a busy day. I've got to travel Saturday. Going back to Atlanta on Saturday afternoon. And then I'm hopefully going to be back on Wednesday night. That's the plan, anyway. We'll see how that works out. If not, well, we'll just see how it works out. I'll have to deal with that when it comes to it. But I might be home Thursday morning. If I end up coming home Thursday morning, there probably will not be a show Thursday morning. But every other day that next week there will be. Tomorrow there will be a show, and I'm planning to have some things put together for tomorrow. Some more audio for you to listen to. There's some more things coming out today that I'd like to report on and or talk about the way the media has been kind of involved in some of this stuff. There was a very interesting, in fact, I'm going to talk about this more tomorrow. I'll probably have the audio for it. I just want to give you a heads up right now. It is not something that necessarily children should listen to, even though this was something that was done in a high school. Project Veritas actually had an expose on the on a school teacher with four, I think it was high school kids, 14 to 15 years old, basically ninth graders, who apparently they've had drag queens come in. They've had some people come in with, you know, adult toys and pass them around the class and talk about, you know, gay and lesbian stuff. And it's heart sickening what they're doing. And then the worst part of it was the response from the head of the school. The dean of students is the one who talked about it in the expose. And then you have the response from the school system itself, I think from the principal, came back and was disgusted. He was disgusted. Of course. Maybe he or she. I don't know if it was he or she. Or they. I don't know. Was all upset about this. Oh, not for the dean of students, what the dean of students did. No, upset that Project Veritas would come in with this heavily edited, deceptive report. They were disgusted by Project Veritas, not by what the teacher did. Yeah. It started off with acceptance. It has now gone to the stage, and I was told this back in the 1980s. First, they're going to want acceptance. Then it's going to be something else, and then at the end of it, it's going to be recruitment and compliance. Look, young people are confused enough as it is. And when you come in with this kind of indoctrination at such an early age, students and children will make decisions and choices that they will regret later on in life. That's all I'm going to say about that. So we'll listen to this tomorrow, and we're going to talk a little bit about evil in the world and some of the things that Scripture talks about in this kind of thing. So yeah, tomorrow is going to be a Shabbat Shalom day. I'm going to get a little bit more on the biblical, spiritual side of things. That's the plan for tomorrow. So, hang in there, folks. I think we're in for a bumpy ride, and I think we need to be prepared for it. How's the best way to prepare? Get your head in the Scriptures. Know what the Scripture says. Know the original. When the counterfeit comes, you'll know what it is. You'll recognize it right away. It's the best advice I can give to you. I'm going to give you any advice at all. If I was qualified to give you anything at all, that's what I'm going to give you right now. Then we can be proactive. We can take down with the sword of truth. So there you go. That's all I got for you today. Tomorrow's show, hopefully, will be a little bit earlier. I don't know for sure. I'm hoping it will be. I have a big project to do today. I have a music project I have to put together today, believe it or not. So I think I have to get on that thing. Got to be done this weekend. So I've actually got to be done tomorrow. So hopefully today will be a day of some recording, doing some of that kind of stuff. which is always kind of fun. And along with all the other 27,000 other things I got to get done today. But that's, I digress. Once again, folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for praying for the nation. Thanks for, we need to pray for each other. Pray for the leaders. Pray for the truth to be seen. I hope that, pray for Elon Musk right now. I think he's going through a time of understanding truth and understanding what's happening. I think let the nation know the truth. The people know the truth and the nation will be saved. God bless everyone.